This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise be unto Allah. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, and we send our love and our salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, to his pious and pure family, to his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah bless us to be amongst them. Amin. والحمد لله. Alhamdulillah, Eid Mubarak to all of you. Hope you had a blessed Eid. And as we witness the end of the Hajj season, and in fact a few events occurred this week, and I thought, how do I bring all of these things together in one lecture? And for me, these three events that we're going to mention, inshallah, speaks to a question: what does it mean to be a Muslim? And the three events is, I don't know if you know your science, you know, a telescope was launched and some amazing pictures were taken of the universe. There was a fatwa on homosexuality by the MJC that had received a lot of backlash. And of course, the completion of Hajj. How do these three things relate? And for me, and we'll try to discuss this issue of what it means to be a Muslim. So if we jump straight into it, as we saw for the first time, you know, these amazing pictures of the universe, begin to understand a little bit more. And the more we learn, the more we realize that there's so little of knowledge that we have. These are the brightest and smartest people on earth. And when they look, and they keep looking in the samawat, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will lower your gaze in fatigue. فَرْجِيَ الْبَصَرَ قَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبَ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِئًا وَخَسِيرًا. Allah says that if you look at the heavens, in Surah Tabarak, and you keep looking, eventually you will grow tired. You'll become fatigued, you'll become exhausted, and you will look down in complete, not humiliation, but humbled. It makes you realize that those who are the smartest, those who know, who claim to know the most, realize how little they know. And that if you marvel at the splendor of the creation and the order that is out there, it should really make you understand the Creator. When you see that in the universe, there is system, there is pattern, there is design, there is a purpose, there is a law, it must make you ask, who is the one that created it and put it in motion? And who put the law that everything follows? We know that without a doubt, the more we learn, the more we study, we prove now with a fact that the universe was caused, it was created. About 14 billion years ago, there was a time when there was no universe, and all of a sudden it came into existence. If it was caused, it was caused by someone. It was created by a creator. And so for us, the more we learn of this dunya, the worldly sciences, the more it leads us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once again, this is what it means to be a Muslim. That we acknowledge that there is something greater than us. That there is a power mightier than us. That there is a law superior to us. And that we are Muslims, we submit to that. The word Muslim means the one who submits. And we surrender to our creator and to the oneness of Allah. We also mention, and I've said this before, Islam is not the religion only of this ummah. It did not begin with Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It did not even begin with Nabi Adam. When did Islam begin? Islam is the religion of the universe. When you look at the sun, it is a Muslim because it submits to the Creator. It submits to the law and the command that Allah had programmed it with. Every grain of sand, every tree, every star is a Muslim. As Allah says in Surah Rahman, وَالنَّجْمُ وَالشَّجْرُ يَسْجُدَانِ, that the stars and the trees make sujood to Allah. And every single creature in all of creation is a Muslim and submits to Allah. What does it mean to be a Muslim? A Muslim is you obey the command of your Creator. You follow the law and the instruction. And as Allah says, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, that He does not accept any other way of life, any other system other than Islam. Now, many of us, if you ask, what does Islam mean? The common definition is, Islam means peace. It doesn't technically mean peace. Islam means al-istislam. It means to surrender. It means to submit. And when you use the word surrender, what do you think of? You think of war, right? Surrender happens in war. Now when one side surrenders, what happens? The war ends. Now there is peace. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you want to see peace and happiness and order and harmony, it is only through the submission of Allah. When you reject and you go against that submission, that is when you will find chaos and conflict. And so what makes us a Muslim, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, O Messenger of Allah, what is Islam? And the Nabi says, Islam is that you surrender your heart to Allah. And that the Muslims are safe, or mankind is safe from your tongue and your hand. This duality. To be a Muslim is you submit completely to your Rabb. Whatever Allah commands you, you do. Whatever He commands you, you obey. Whatever He forbids, you stay away. And how you treat your fellow human beings. That is what, in a nutshell, what it means to be a Muslim. Now we transition to Hajj. Hajj is all symbolic, and it is emulation of the rituals of Nabi Ibrahim. In Nabi Ibrahim's story, Allah commanded Nabi Ibrahim with a command that defies logic. Any system, any law, any religion on earth would say it is madness to sacrifice your own child. It is crazy. Cannot be right. But when Allah commanded Nabi Ibrahim to slaughter Nabi Ismail, his submission to Allah, his obedience to Allah, was not that I'm going to kill my son if Allah commands me to do so. What he believed is, whatever Allah commands me is good. That if Allah tells you jump off this cliff, it will be for my own benefit. Allah is not going to leave me in the last. That is tawakkal. Like when Allah told Nabi Musa, you go to the Red Sea. And when he got to the Red Sea, what did Bani Israel say? That we are going to drown. Your Lord has brought us here to die. And Nabi Musa said, Kalla, no. My Lord will not bring me to this and leave me like that. Nabi Ibrahim, Nabi Ismail understood that if Allah gave me a command, it might seem crazy. It might seem unrealistic. It might defy my logic. But if Allah command me to do this, it is for my own benefit. And at the end, I will see it. And that is why part of the slogans of Hajj, and that we recite in our salah, Kul inna salati, that my prayer, wa nusuki, and my sacrifice, wa mahyaya, that my life, wa mamati, and my death, lillahi rabbil alamin. It is all for Allah, the Lord of the universe. I don't know, Ya Allah, you know. When you command, I obey and I submit. That whatever the world says out there, whatever science says out there, yes, we listen and we take note of these things. But my ultimate direction is what Allah has commanded. Now we transition. So that was Hajj. And it's very sad that we say with one tongue, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, you are the greatest, you are the greatest. But the minute we hear a command in the Quran or the Sharia that we don't like, then this must change. The Sharia must change. We know better than the Quran. Islam must be updated and modified. Islam must come with the times. Islam is backwards. The Quran is backwards. And that is now we transition to the next topic that I mentioned. There was a fatwa on homosexuality. And we spoke about homosexuality last month at length. All the rules and what's permissible, not permissible. We can debate interpretation as much as we want. There are certain things in the Quran that are open to interpretation, and you can debate. And that's why we have four madhahib, debate with knowledge. Right? Not just my opinion. Today people feel that if I feel certain, this is, you know, someone told me, that's my interpretation of what Islam is. Now you are entitled to your own interpretation, but you're not entitled to your own facts. Someone cannot say to you, it is my interpretation that the earth is flat. If it goes against logic, common sense, evidence, then your interpretation is rejected. You can hold that you have the right in this country or wherever to hold whatever opinion that you want. Doesn't make it right. And it doesn't mean that I need to agree with you. So one may read the Quran. And there are certain ayat of the Quran that indeed there is room for interpretations. And for 1,500 years, scholars from China to America have been interpreting it and discussing it. And alhamdulillah, there is permissible ikhtilaf. But there are certain things in the Quran that are not open to interpretation. You cannot read the Quran and say, well, after I've read the Quran from Fatiha to Nas, I believe that Khamar is okay. I believe that it is okay that Allah is a Trinity. Can't say those things. Allah has a son, wa'yadu billah. Those things cannot, you know, you cannot say that. And if you wish to force your opinion upon that, then it's not an interpretation. It is a rejection. It is a rejection of the Quran. And so if you look at the fatwa of the MJC, and this has become under a lot of scrutiny, a lot of debate, that how can you claim that if someone, you know, follows a certain lifestyle, we said that if you follow a lifestyle, it is haram. And if you commit a sin and you are repentant, it doesn't matter how big the sin is, so long as you repent, then alhamdulillah, you're a Muslim. We all commit sin, no matter how big it is. We even know the man, the hadith, he murdered 100 people. There's no greater sin after shirk than murder. 100 people, and he made istighfar, and Allah forgave him, no problem. But to challenge and reject the Quran, even if you don't commit the sin, for example, someone might say, I don't drink alcohol. I've never touched it in my life. But this, the Quran saying khamr is haram, this is backwards, we must change it. That is a statement of a rejection of the Quran, tantamount to kufr. Now you fall in that very dangerous area, which might take you out of the fold of Islam. Rejecting what is clear in the Quran. Now you're not making istislam anymore. What does, again, go back to what I said. Islam is to submit to Allah. That yes, we can debate an ayah legitimately, but once it is clear, this is what Allah has commanded, there should be complete istislam. Now I submit. Whether I like it, I don't like it, I submit, Ya Allah. Whether you are in favor, not in favor, whether it benefits you, harms you, Ya Allah, if you commanded it, you know better, Allah subhanahu knows best. And that is what it means to be a Muslim. Complete submission to what is in the Quran and the Sunnah. And subhanAllah, just think about this. If you genuinely believe, you look at that telescope, and you look at these galaxies, and this massive universe, and the power that's out there, and you believe the one who created these things, he knows the past, the present and the future, who is eternal. And he tells you, listen, Ahmad, don't do this, it's bad for you. Are you really going to question him and say, maybe you got it wrong, I know better. Does this really sound like you would question the Rabbul Alameen, that you know better than him? And so Allah says in the Quran, with regards to the Quran and Sunnah, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنِ, it is not for a Muslim. وَلَا مُؤْمِنَ, not a male or a female, إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا, that if Allah and His Rasul command something, أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيرَةِ, you don't have a choice in the matter. Allah says, you don't even, your opinion does not count anymore. When Allah and His Rasul command something, you don't even have a say in the matter anymore. There is only سَمْعًا وَطَاعًا. الخيرة من أمرهم ومن يعص الله. And whoever disobeys Allah and رسوله فقد ضل ضلالا مبينا. And whoever goes against Allah and His Rasul, goes against the Sharia, then you have gone transgressed far off from the righteous path. Allah also says, فلا وربك, Allah swears by Himself, لا يؤمنوا, you will not be a true believer حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجروا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah says, this is with regards to the Sunnah. Today it's become, today people have gotten to the point, they've just conveniently rejected the Sunnah completely. They ignore it. Whatever the Prophet says, we reject that. And now they're trying to reinterpret. Reinterpret actually means to rewrite the Quran. Allah says about the Rasul, by Allah, you will not be a Muslim, you will not be a believer. I'm not saying this, Allah is saying this. Until they, the people, make you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ultimate judge concerning that which they dispute amongst themselves. If they have a disagreement, they make you the judge amongst them. And they find within themselves no discomfort. Whatever the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, we accept. We don't even feel bad about it. Whatever you said, Ya Rasulullah, I accept it from what you have judged. And they submit in full submission to the command of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now what about the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we say to a certain group of people, yes, if there is an interpretation, if there is an opinion that is open to discussion, no problem, alhamdulillah. But where there is no interpretation, when the ayah is clear, black and white, you don't have a say as to what Islam is or Islam is not. Allah decides what is Islam. You only have, what is your right, is to submit or not submit. And if you don't submit, then subhanAllah, and you reject, then are you a Muslim? That is for Allah to decide. So what makes you a Muslim? What makes you a Muslim is, as we said, is to submit to your Creator. But it's also, it should be manifest in how you treat the creation. In terms of the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the one action, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds us, the one action that if someone does this habitually, if someone is consistent on this, alhamdulillah, it is a guarantee of his Islam, and that is Salah. As the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the Sahaba said, they did not view any action or any sin as very important, because we're speaking about what makes you a Muslim. And naturally, the next question is, does this make me a kafir? That's the next question that comes up. And as I said so many times, we do not make takfir on anybody. No matter how crazy their opinions are, no matter how disobedient their deeds are, what we can see on the outside, ultimately there's a day of Qiyamah. And yes, this common slogan, you don't have the right to judge me, it's true. No one has the right to judge anybody. In fact, we can't judge ourselves, only Allah will judge. But we do have the right to say, this is what's permissible, and that's what's impermissible. I can tell you that it's haram to eat pork. I'm not judging. If you want to eat bacon, it's between you and Allah. But it's haram. It's not a judge, issue of judgment. The only thing that the Sahaba, when they would pass judgment on someone, the only sin that they would put a man's iman in question is if he left salah completely. The Sahaba, fought against the Khawarij. They fought against many different groups. The only time someone, an action, potentially removes him from Islam is if he has abandoned Salah completely. And so the Prophet says, the covenant that distinguishes between us and them is Salah. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدَ كَفَرَ. And whoever leaves of Salah completely, then he falls outside of the fold of Islam. Now this is very important. Why? For us to say, let's not talk about other people and other people's belief. If you want to judge the level of your Islam and your level, if I want to judge, someone asked, not judge others, how do I know if I'm a true believer? The best litmus test is the quality of your salah. The person who does not make salah at all, it's as if though he has no iman. The person who makes salah, but it's difficult, he hasn't tasted the sweetness of iman, but there's iman in there, that I submit to my Rabb, but yani, out of obligation. Well, alhamdulillah, that's a Muslim. As for the one who finds peace, tranquility, enjoyment in salah, who rises up with tahajjud out of his own or her own, you know, love, then alhamdulillah, that tells you, that's your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is, when we ever talk about Islam at a personal level, the focus is on the quality of one's salah. With regards to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked about Islam and a Muslim, the Prophet says, every religion has a characteristic that will define its people. And the characteristic that will define my ummah is modesty, is haya. And this more so in our time and place that we are now, where immorality is widespread and people live how they want to live. The Muslim should always stand out. The sister should always stand out. Not with what? With the level of our modesty. People should feel, I don't swear in front of that Muslim putao, that, you know, I feel, subhanAllah, you'd find that people are shy to commit sin in front of someone that they believe has a high level of morality. SubhanAllah, you know, we won't swear in front of our parents or our grandparents because we have some level of ihtiram. And you find this in many of our, you know, in our co-workers, they won't act openly certain sins or certain, even though they don't deem it as a sin, but they will know somewhere it wouldn't sit right with him in front of Aisha or Fatima. She's got a dukkie on. We're not going to speak like this or swear like that or talk about the party last night. This is what it means, part of what it means to be a Muslim. The Muslim, the Nabi says, is the one from whose tongue and hand the people are safe. And the believer is the one who is trusted with the lives and wealth of the people. Part of your Islam is not only how you communicate with Allah in salah, not only how you spend your time in the masjid. Being a Muslim is also how you engage with insan around you. And therefore, it is sad, but it's true. When people say, these Muslims or these pious people want to condemn this sin and that sin, but look at the way they treat their employees or the domestic worker, or how they treat their wives and children. And there's truth to that. It's almost like, what is the quality of your salah? If you can make salah and stand for hours in salah and hours in sujood, but you go out there and you abuse and you swear and you cheat and you lie, you take the hukuk, the haq of someone else. So what is really the quality of your Islam then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands that we worship Him in our rituals and we worship Him in our amal, in our dealings with insan. In fact, most of the sharia, there are certain rituals which are specific to Him. Hajj, salah, zakah. And in fact, even in those things, there's a human aspect, but that is purely for Allah's sake. The rest of the sharia is how you engage with people around you. Your Islam is measured by how you treat people. And so the Prophet ﷺ is saying, now listen again, I repeat the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says, if you ask the question, am I Muslim? He says, a Muslim is someone whose tongue and hand the people feel safe from. No one fears that Ahmad or Fatima will harm me verbally, let alone physically. Nobody should feel fear of a Muslim that they are going to do something harmful to them. And the believer is one step above that. The mu'min is the one who people actually entrust their lives and their wealth with. They come to you to keep their money safe. They come to you when they're in a problem. When they feel vulnerable, they pick up their phone and they phone you. Someone's in the house, they phone the Muslim neighbor. Someone is, I'm in hospital, can you pick the kids up from school? Who do I pick? I phone the Muslim friend. Because there is this trust, this security that a Muslim provides to people around him. So, and in this context of this fatwa, it's very clear, certain things are impermissible. certain things are tantamount to kufr. But at the same time, we live in a society where people are not going to agree with us. And people are not going to live by our lifestyle. And people have done, they've rejected more than that. They've rejected the Quran, this everything. How do we engage with them? The same way this hadith is not for how you treat another Muslim. It's how you treat people. Your atheist neighbor should feel safe from you. Your atheist neighbor should feel that my best neighbor is the Muslim neighbor. That the friendliest one is Ahmad. That the nicest one is Muhammad. The neighbor who's committing all the sins, your co-worker is doing all the sins against the Sharia, should feel that this person has the highest level of akhlaq. I feel the safest with him or her. And if our friends don't feel that way, again the Nabi says, look at the quality of your Islam, the quality of your Iman. The Nabi says, two more hadith, the most complete of all believers in Iman are those who have the best character. We know this hadith so many times, but it goes further. Who is soft in nature and are friendly to others, and they are befriended. People want to be their friends. He is not one of us who is not friendly and is not does not befriend people. The Nabi says, you're not from my ummah, you're not from my community, if there is no softness in you, there is no friendliness in you, there is no kindness in you. This is not part of his sunnah. And so finally, in this last hadith, very important hadith in our times, as I said before, no matter what a person does or say, we can never declare takfir on anybody. We never do that. Because this is the means of the Khawarij. This is the first sect in Islam that caused chaos in the ummah, is one Muslim declaring another person who says the kalima, you're not a Muslim. That is for Allah to decide. Our job is to bring people into Islam and not to expel them from Islam, irrespective of what they say or do. At most, and this is not even for us, this is for the ulama, to say, this belief that you have, my brother, is potentially kufr. That's as far as we can go. We say, brother, if you say this thing, and perhaps you don't understand Islam, you don't understand the Quran or Arabic, whatever, but to hold this belief is in conflict with the Quran and the Sunnah fundamentally. That's as far as you can go. But look, how do we interact? So question comes, how do I interact with someone who is openly a homosexual? He says, a Muslim, you know, he's committing adultery, he's a drug dealer. How do I interact with him? But he says, I'm a Muslim. Look at what the Nabi says. Whoever prays salah, and he faces our Qibla, he faces Makkah, and he eats halal food, is a Muslim, meaning, and he takes the kalima obviously. He is a Muslim, and he's under Allah's protection. So do not betray the protection of Allah. You don't ever expel someone from the door of the fold of Islam, not your job. If he says the kalima, he says, I'm a Muslim, then whatever happens is between him and Allah. No matter how he lives his life, if he dies, we need to make janazah salah on that man or that sister. We need to bury that person in our maqbara. If that person is sick, we make dua for that person in life and in death. And so make dua that all of us, Ya Allah, keep us steadfast on the deen of Islam. Grant us to submit to the laws of Islam. Even though it is not maybe popular in the world that we live in, let us put Islam as paramount, the Quran and the Sunnah first, above whatever is out there. May Allah forgive our sins and transgressions and grant us to have an iman that is complete, and let us pass away upon Islam and as believers. Ameen. We jazakallah, we say shukran to all those who qurban with us during the days of Eid. Alhamdulillah, I think we slaughtered 120 sheep, and most of it, alhamdulillah, has been donated and will be part of our soup kitchen, and so we'll be distributing that to the poor, alhamdulillah. May Allah accept from all of us. And then from the sheep to the marriage, there's a lot of interest, and I'm so many people have messaged me about this meet and treat, looking for a partner. One sister, you know, she sent me a message, did I make it? I didn't respond to her in time. She says, you know what, you took too long to reply, take my name off there, I don't want to be on that list anymore. Allah, may Allah make it easy for us. So perhaps part of marriage is sabr, you know, part of this is a lesson in sabr, you know. So nonetheless, inshallah, we will host this event before July. Those who have registered, inshallah, we'll make a final selection. Those who have not yet registered, I think you have a day. Today is like the last day. And inshallah, may Allah bless us all with happy marriages. Ameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.